Test.
We need it to look at.
Test.
The sound card. Okay, go to playback. Go to recording.
Now I'm getting something. There we go.
Okay, you got it.
I've got all green right, bars.
Okay.
Everyone's wondering, what the hell are you guys talking about?
Yes. Hell yeah, they are.
After that great opening.
All right. Well, Mark, why don't you just do everyone a favor and let's start this bad boy over. Let's go. Let's do a return to the gate to get the rowdy passenger off and we'll restart this flight.
All right. Now I just hope people can hear. Okay. So I'm going to start all over for ladies and gentlemen, just because it's 8:11 now. And let's see if this doesn't start things up again. Not coming through Audacity, though.
You need to plug that in, too.
I don't think so.
Plug that into the side of the computer.
Then they won't hear me. All right, doing that.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
Okay.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport?
This
a
is
business?
What we call a
is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Eppner think it may be any of those things.
I guess people are,
but they like
Mark,
to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio.
I'm playing
Mark
our Simple Flight Radio,
the
so don't talk to me right now.
And the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.
I hope people can hear this. I'm getting word that this isn't even coming across. I've seen green bars now. People have got to hear us. All right. I see green bars. I'm going to hope we get some feedback. Ladies and gentlemen, talk about a compressor stall. I think we got it.
Yeah, you nailed it.
No.
You are the mechanic. This is like fixing stuff in the bush, you know, where it's like, you know, you just pray to God, you have a thing of duct tape and you know, a dime in your quarter in your pants so that you can use it as a
what
screwdriver.
Do you have in your pants?
not a dime of cocaine, but it's like a coin so that you can use it as a half screwdriver.
But you know what's so crazy is I've changed nothing, and now we're getting 5x5 from our friends. Now let's just see if it's going, because now that the lead-in is out, I'm not sure that we're still putting out, but I'm gonna get a little live feedback here from a listener upstairs. If you catch my drift.
Yeah.
As long as they refresh the computer, they probably have to do that.
Hey, I hear us.
I hear you in the background too.
We're good. We are good.
That was the worst start to a show we have ever done. You know, it had to happen in our second year. I'm so embarrassed.
Yep.
You no longer are allowed to leave.
We need to send you to broadcasting school.
Hey, I've done the last few weeks without a hitch.
I know.
And now I've got to plug in the thing somewhere different. Something changed, and I don't know what.
Bless you for it. We got it. We'll figure. Yeah.
All right.
Awesome. Well, hey, welcome to the show, everyone. And, you know, that's not too bad. I think they measure on-time performance of the airplane at the airlines by 14 minutes, and it's 8:14 right now, so
yeah.
We're on time.
I'm still getting it, still no sound from upstairs, so this is what I'm going to do. Midwest Flight Lines, if you hear us, please tweet in, and I'm going to see if we can't do a refresh. Just go ahead and talk for a few seconds, Captain Waterloo.
Yeah, I hear you. and I hear it through my my other listening device.
All right.
All right, let's start it because we can hear it. I'm getting a lot of feedback that we can, and okay. You know, for the yeah, exactly.
So we don't have. Let's see. I forget where we were.
Is this the Sunday night chuckle?
No, you know what? This is the Sunday night horrific crash and burn segment. SNB. That's CBS. Crash and burn segment.
Yeah. We're the CBS. That's amazing.
Oh my goodness.
Well, hey, I hope your week of flying was a lot more smooth than this first 15 minutes here.
Yeah, I hope it was. Actually, I went out today and I did not have a very good flight. I just wasn't on top of my game, so maybe it's just
I can kind tell.
Of spilling over. Yeah, you can tell. So meanwhile, no one heard us talk about you being my imaginary friend. We heard no comments about the blow up doll. So
right.
That wonderful 10-minute start we had is all gone.
That's probably better, and I'm glad.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. I was so excited about this, and I wasn't even pressured because now I got this audio stuff all figured out. And then you tell me, no, something's not right. We got to plug something else somewhere else. And
yeah.
Right now, it doesn't even look familiar. So if you tell me we're broadcasting, I'm cool with
it. We're absolutely broadcasting, and it's awesome. So
yeah.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome once again to the show. Thanks for bearing through that. And hopefully, you know, like I love using the NASCAR, the mantra for this is that people go to NASCAR not to see the driver win. They go to see the crashes, and they got, you know, this is like the first lap. You know, they got to see our audience got to see a good wreck. It was awesome.
All right. Yeah, it's awesome for them. I feel like an idiot. And I don't even think it's my fault, to be honest.
Okay.
We got that out.
All right.
All right. So you are Al Waterloo.
I am.
And I am.
You are Mark Eppner,
and
I'm your imaginary friend. As
you are, because I never see you anymore. Again, I'm sitting in my living room, and
yes, where our first couple shows were broadcast from.
Yeah, because you know we were looking for a place to call home when we started this a little over a year ago, and we had some guests, and they came over. We put crackers out, and we just had a kind of a conversation around the table, and hence we started with our finding amazing people doing amazing things in aviation.
Yes, exactly. Well, those are some good memories. That was pretty much exactly a year ago, and it was a fun time.
Yeah, it was great. But, you know, like our start today, sometimes, I don't know, let's just say it a communications failure or a communications issue. I had communication issue with ATC today.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it was, I was up doing, I won't even mention the facility. I was doing some practice approaches in the Bonanza, and then another Bonanza comes on with almost identical call sign. You know,
nice.
Tail number. I mean, it was like one digit off, she was kind of messing up the controller. And so when you go missed, what do you expect the controller to say?
Give you instructions or contact departure or something like that?
Okay, contact departure. So this is what she says to me. She calls me the other number, right? And then says, frequency change approved. And I heard her say, she said something like 910 Tango Mike, and I was 90 Tango Mike. Both Bonanzas, by the way.
Wow.
And, both in Kenosha, I just said it, Kenosha Airspace. And so she said, I think it was 910 Tango Mike, frequency change approved. And there was no comment back. So she said, 90 Tango Mike, frequency change approved. And I said, was that for 0 Tango Mike? And then she kind of got upset with me. Yes, it was. And I said, okay, I'm going over to departure because I was going to get I didn't have anything other than as published for my, climb 2500, then left turn back to the holding point, Cody. And so it was just weird. So I don't know what was going on in community. I heard other communication issues. So there's something weird in the air today.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. That's sometimes maybe it's a little. Wasn't there a meteor shower that created a lot of static electricity? And yeah, I'm looking at a full moon, sort of, kind of rising over Lake Superior right now.
I'm looking at. Yeah, I guess so. Maybe that would explain. You know, I heard about this older guy that went to the doctor's office to ask about getting a prescription for Viagra.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah. Hence the hashtag SNC. So, you know, he's in the waiting room when the woman at the reception desk says for everyone to hear, Mr. Fraser, you're here to see the doctor about your impotence, right? I mean, she just says it out loud.
Oh, God.
Guy's mortified, as any of us would be. But he was a quick thinker. He must have been a pilot. Because he said no, and he said it very loudly. I'm looking into getting that sex change operation. I was hoping to get the same doctor who did yours.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I bet she was mortified.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Woo-hoo!
I don't even have my sound effects up. That's what kind of bad day I'm having.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I hope so. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, you and I haven't been seeing each other and all that. Tell me a little bit about what you've been doing this week.
Man, I've been kind of all over the place. We, let's see, we haven't done a show face-to-face since July, if you can believe it.
I can believe it.
Yeah, no, I've been up in Duluth, Minnesota, either up here or commuting back and forth. Let's just put it this way, Cirrus is selling a lot of brand new airplanes, which is awesome. And they need some help, coaching owners through the delivery process and giving some training. So I've been up here. It's beautiful up here right now. It's great.
Excellent. Yeah, well, it's beautiful here in Chicago as well.
Yeah, definitely. So it's quite nice. Very nice. Yeah.
So I got to spend some time in the tower over at Papa Whiskey Kilo today, so that was a great day.
Cool.
Yeah, I followed my mantra, kind of take a controller out on a flight.
Yeah.
So that was my wonderful payback, and I got to go up in the tower after I took this gentleman and his wife up on a flight earlier in the week.
So walk me through, what's it like flying with a controller and his wife? You know, somebody that, like, first of all, did this person have any flying experience?
A little.
Just a little.
Yeah, I think so, and his wife had a little. What I was surprised about is he put his wife up in the front. I mean, talk about chivalry.
Wow.
Yeah, and I let her fly over the lake. We went down the lake shore. This was before the TFR.
Uh-huh.
And the TFR for the Chicago Air and Water Show, of course. And she did a great job. He had fun. It took a lot of pictures. And so, you know, we're going to do it some more. Matter of fact, I bumped in and met a couple other controllers today when I was up in the cab, and they all want to go as well.
Cool. You started a revolution.
Absolutely. As well I should.
Yeah. I love it. That's so cool. That's like a good, pilot deed for the day.
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So he let her sit up there, and what was his reaction? Did he recognize who you guys were talking to right away and all that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, you know, the thing I learned is, you know, that there's different styles, and, you know, certain controllers seem to align with others better than maybe with some of the others.
Right.
But, you know, they're all very talented. There's a lot of respect that goes back and forth, and they have fun with each other. I think that's what I really enjoy is, you know, they rib each other, and it's, you know, that was fun to see because it's a high-stress job, I think. I mean, they're pretty comfortable up there.
Yeah.
But they have a good time up there, too, with obviously keeping safety first. Are you there?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, awesome.
You scared me.
I didn't hear that.
I thought, great. After all this Woo! Technical issues, you just went away. I thought, I don't think I can do this. Woo! I'm just going to pull the plug.
Oh, that's a well. That's really cool that you ended up having a good time with them, and you know, it's. I think it would be awesome to be a controller at the Palwaukee Airport. You know, there's. It seems like it's a little challenging of an airspace. It doesn't seem. It probably gets really busy. You know, busier than you may think. But it seems like it would be if there's a Class Delta out there that you would want to work at, it would probably, one of them would be Palwaukee for sure.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I got the sense in talking to them that they're all looking forward to getting to an O'Hare and all that. I actually asked the gentleman that I know, you know, why is it? And I think just like any profession, you kind of, you want to better yourself, you want to get to the harder, harder may be the wrong word, but the more challenging environment. Yeah, it means more money, I'm sure, but it also you want to push yourself because at some point, maybe Class Delta seems pretty easy, but the guy that I was listening to, there was a boatload of traffic today, thankfully, and mixture of different speeds and IFR and VFR just did a great job, and it's very calm, and I'm thinking, oh my God, how is he going to keep these all apart? And it's just different up there.
That's awesome.
I as you know, always wanted to be a controller, and now I want to be one even more.
Definitely. That's really great. Last week I had a, 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, if you will, I had an opportunity. I flew with one of the Cirrus owners. His dream was to fly into O'Hare. And the gentleman that we know at our flying club was at O'Hare that day, so we asked if we could go up from the tower and take a tour with him, and he said sure. So we grabbed a crew car, we went over to the terminal, and went up to the top of O'Hare Tower, and you know, it was really cool to see like a GA pilot's, you know, eyes just kind of light up. And once they go up to the top of, you know, a big tower like that. And, you know, what was really cool is there was a, you know, Antonov AN-124s. Do you know what those are?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Big mamas.
Yeah. One of those things were landed when we were up there, and it was taxiing around, and that thing was, like, massive. It looked, it put a 747 to shame on the, you know, ramp. And this thing's taxiing around, and it was funny because they had, you know, the controllers off the air were actually kind of like, I wouldn't say making fun of them, but they're like, you know, like playing jokes and stuff, you know. They're like, you know, as they were crossing one of the runways, you know, the guy that was working them, and clearing them across the runway was like, there you go, there you go, there you go. Now you're rolling. Nice job. Keep moving. Keep moving. Don't block my runway. Yeah, there you go. And it was, and then it was funny. He's just like, he crosses the whole short line and he's like, Antonov 124 contact ground point 9. You know? It's just hilarious. It's really hilarious.
Well, and that just proves their sense of humor. Actually, when I was there, a gentleman called up for taxi instructions and he said, something like, and we have ATIS Papa. Right? And the controller looked at me and said, did he just say ATIS? And I said, yeah, I think so. And then he got on, he said, okay, taxi via LIMA to runway 16.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah,
it's cool when you have controller games.
Controller games as opposed to the Hunger Games.
Yeah, that's a much different game.
Yeah, yeah. So I started tonight, besides the crash and burn, with the Sugar Love song, Green-Eyed Lady. Green-Eyed Lady, because what in your generation, do you know what green-eyed person means? What emotion they're feeling?
No, love?
No, jealousy.
Whoa.
See, if you have the green-eyed monster, that's jealousy. So, you know, I was jealous. And envious is maybe a better word of the guys in the control tower. But, you know, at Oshkosh, there was a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, it's you get envious again. And jealous is the wrong word, but you know, the green-eyed lady, I had to do that play-in. And, you know, I got a wonderful experience at Oshkosh, as you're aware, and I kind of divide it between social and airplane for my 2 days there. And I just never wanted to leave. Well, tonight's guest we have really had a different kind of experience at Oshkosh as well.
Yeah, no, he did, and it was a it was something that I definitely had green eyes, you know, through all of his, you know, his tweets and everything. It was pretty cool. Just kind of virtually, I guess, living through his Oshkosh experience. So, how about we get our guest on the line?
I think that's a great job, and hope now I'm glad you're responsible for this part. So if it screws up, I won't have anything to do with it.
Exactly. Well, let's get Mr. Ian Hoyt. He's back with us this evening, and he was with us last year in one of our first episodes, a couple months from our start date and everything. And he's got some cool. He's been doing some really cool things. So let's hit the enter button and get him on.
Yay!
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey Al. Hey Mark.
Hey.
What's up?
Not much. How's it going?
Yeah, not much. Did you hear the start of our show?
You can't win them all.
Oh, my God. How embarrassing. And already listening to Ian reminds me of our first conversation. I have green eyes over that microphone that he has.
It's an investment.
Oh, my gosh. It is a wonderful sound. Al, we've got to upgrade the show.
Yep.
Definitely.
It's about time. It is about time. This is like our... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're old enough now to play with fire.
Yeah, but no.
It's a year two present.
Yeah.
Gift to yourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, this, cool. Thanks for, Ian, thanks for coming on the show again. And it's always fun having you and having little Twitter conversations, along the way. And it's a good time. But you were up at Oshkosh and you had a pretty cool. Well. First of all, let's start off. How long were you at Oshkosh this year?
I was at Oshkosh for a full week this year. First time I was there the whole time. It was a week. I'll tell you that.
So what? So were you glad you were there the whole week, or was it like at some point were you like burnt out?
I've been there for a day, and I've been there now for a week, and I would say, anything in between that is perfect. A week got pretty long. As much as I love airplanes, as much as I love Oshkosh, and I thought I would love a week there, I would stay 4 maybe days. That'd be my ticket.
And do you stay kind of camping under the wing of an airplane or camp shoulder, or are you off in a bed and breakfast somewhere?
We drive up every year. It's a tradition with a friend and I. We drive up and then we camp out in Camp Scholler. I want to fly up sometime just to say I have, but it's really nice to camp out because you can bring a lot more stuff than if you're flying. So it's a different experience, though.
That's nice, and that you can leave the grounds and, like, for example, when I flew up there, I bought a fleece sleeping bag. Thinking, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be really, you know, hot and everything, and I'm not gonna use a sleeping bag. Well, that really backfired on me because I was freezing my tail off, so I had to like find somebody with a car that was going into town to the Costco or the Walmart or something like that to go get a Coleman sleeping bag. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's usually really nice to have the car, but my friend actually left earlier in the year or earlier in the week, and so I was there alone for a little while with my tent and my sleeping bag with no car and stuff, but I managed. It's Oshkosh.
Well, next time you just have to work out with us because we always have people that both drive and fly, and so you can hook up with the Leading Edge Flying Club and kind of have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I wish you guys would have, or wish you would have connected with me while you were there.
Yeah, my bad or your bad, let's take 50-50 blame. Next year for sure. Matter of fact, if you want, you can drive to Chicago and we'll fly the rest of the way.
I may just take you up on that.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. So,
awesome.
People, I don't know if all of our listeners may remember our first conversation. I don't even remember when it was, but So you started
a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, and you started the company Heading 370. Why don't you remind our listening audience what is Heading 370 and how are things going since that last time we talked?
Yeah, Heading 370, the last time we talked was actually what it isn't today. but today it is an aviation clothing brand. We're trying to be the brand for aviation clothing since we don't see a high quality brand out there that portrays aviation in its entirety. So since its inception, we've rolled out two different designs of t-shirts. We have a couple other products in our store, and we actually are working on getting polos out to the customers soon and pocketed tees as well. Those are some things to look forward to, but we really stress high quality. We definitely don't skimp on design, quality of the t-shirt, and how it's printed. It's all very, very nice and something you don't usually find in a clothing brand in the aviation realm.
Cool. Now, I think it was last year that I saw a shirt, and I don't think it was yours because you had just started, but it made the kind of the headlines or all the tweets at Oshkosh, which basically said, Oshkosh, a quiet little drinking town with a flying problem. So are your shirts like that? You know, the, I don't know if you call it corny or the ones with the little quips or more emblem-like.
Actually, my twist, I'm a very motivational kind of guy, and I love quotes and such. So I incorporate more quotes and motivational, inspirational type things into my aviation designs. So right now we have two shirts on the market, and if you go check out heading370.com, you can see that each one has quotes integrated into the design. So no, we're not doing quirky stuff as much. I think that's already covered. We're just trying to really express high quality and stuff that inspires you, not only in the aviation realm, but in your life as well and in the goals you're trying to achieve.
Very cool. Actually, in my other life, Monday through Friday, I spent most of the last 30-plus years managing salespeople, and they always laughed at me because I was just a man of sayings, not unlike what you're describing. Things like there's no right way to do a wrong thing, excuses explain action, they don't take action, so on and so forth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Two eyes, two ears, one mouth, use them in that proportion. I think I should use that one, or I should practice that one a little bit more. But anyway, so that's really, really cool. Al, you're not supposed to laugh at that.
I don't know.
It's a huge part of my life, so I like to try to express that through my brand as well. So
wonderful, wonderful. But now, Oshkosh, that was a little bit different for you because you weren't there as kind of the aviation enthusiast or even promoting your company, as I understand it. Didn't you have a little bit different role this year, which is why you were there for the full week?
Yeah, actually, I got lucky enough to be able to go there on media credentials this year.
Wow.
And what that means is I do aviation photography, and Airplaneista, the online blog slash magazine, needed a photographer for Oshbash. And, of course, I saw that on Twitter and instantly said I could do it. And I was there all week on their credentials, and I took that time to do a lot of photography, not only for them. I managed to do some for Amelia Earhart, and I also did some for my own freelance work as well. So, yeah, it was a different experience, and it was definitely an awesome experience.
So, talk to us about that. You know, you say now I'm on media credentials. Is it an access thing, or what makes it different now that you have media credentials?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the first main thing is you're getting in the week for free, but you also get access to certain areas to take photos. There's a press center or a press box right at show center for the air show. That's really nice because you have spectators that want to watch right up on the show line, so we go in there so we don't have their heads in our shots and all that kind of stuff. There's also a press center where you can go edit, charge phones, and all that. That's really nice. And yeah, it's just, it's, you wear a lanyard with your press credentials, and then you can, you're sort of allowed to do more. You know, everyone respects that you have a job to do, and they'll move forward if you need them to, and all that, to get the shots and to get what you need to get.
Wow. That's cool. So people move. I didn't realize it was such a respect kind of thing, because I guess you are there to do a job, and they let you do your thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're not required, but I think they know when someone's wearing that, they're like, okay, they're doing this for someone, so they just respect you a little more, I guess. I noticed it, and I was amazed by the respect a lot of people gave me with a lanyard.
Yeah. So how did they go about getting that? I mean, you said that you saw this little post on Twitter, but I mean, do you know anything about the application process? I mean, obviously nobody can, you know.
No. You had to be a pretty well established, from what I understand and what I've read on the site, but I'm not sure how it really goes. You have to be a pretty well established media source. And you can just go on to EAA, and then you apply for media credentials, and then you can put whoever's on your media team on those credentials.
Nice.
And then you just pick up credentials when you get there. So
awesome. Well, what about so when you had this job to do, and it was to, you know, it was photography. I would assume there's a lot of people doing video and you know, interview, like, you know, radio bits and things like that. But
yeah,
when you're going around doing a photography, you know, photography, what's it like, a day in the life of a photographer at Oshkosh?
I guess it's different for every person, obviously. But what the day in the life of me was, I woke up around 5:30 every morning. And then I would get ready, and then hopefully be in the gates by 7. Everything doesn't start until, I believe, 8:30. But no one's there at 7-ish, so I go around, walk around, and get some static photography of airplanes with no one around, or get these shots that I don't really want a lot of people around, so I can take my time and figure out framing and all that fun stuff. That's what I'll do in the morning. I'll walk around, get sunburnt, and all that fun stuff. And then people start rolling in, and I like to take photos of candid portraitures of just anyone out there not knowing that I'm taking their photo. Those end up usually being some of the money shots for me. And then the air show rolls around, I believe, 2-ish, and that's when all the photographers in the war, or in Oshkosh, congregate to the show line, and they get ready to get their long lenses out. And then that's when the work happens. And then I take a couple thousand photos a day, and hopefully I'll get 2 or 3 good ones a day if I'm lucky that I enjoy. And then once the air show is over, I'll take a couple shots, but I'm usually dead by then, and I usually pack away the photography stuff, soak in Oshkosh a bit, and then go have fun with Oshkosh friends.
So when you said take a couple thousand shots, I think you're, am I right in saying you're too young to remember when you only could put 36 shots on a roll of film?
I was little, but I know what film was. I definitely remember what film was.
And again, changing rolls of film after every 36 shots.
Yeah, it's incredible. sometimes I almost wish it was all film still, because then, yeah, you have to shoot in a totally different mindset. You gotta get the shots, as opposed to take multiple ones and then hope you got one.
Yeah.
So, but film is a great media, a great avenue in photography as well, still today. But it's just more of a vintage type style, when you're doing it.
Yeah, and so. You mentioned the long lenses and things, and I happened to be with a couple other gentlemen that drove up with me. I actually ended up having to drive, but you know, I thought, well, I'll just take my little iPhone out, and I was taking the same pictures that they were, and boy, I was absolutely blown away, because now the, you know, mine had didn't have perspective and didn't have depth, and everything was small, and theirs, it was like, and this is of course the air show, I mean, you were right there, they were crystal clear, and I thought, oh my God, I have forgotten, because everyone now accepts the little iPhone pics, and they just don't hold a candle to true photography.
Yeah, my my big purchase I saved up for about 3 years ago was, it's called the 100 to 400 millimeter. It's from Canon. And, yeah, that'll get you right into the cockpit. You can usually see the airshow performer's facial expressions if you're lucky. So it, it's incredible. It's amazing.
So. That's got to be pretty exhausting. I'm just thinking of, you know, a couple thousand pictures a day. You know, there's a, whenever I go fly, you know, there's sometimes when I get a GoPro, or when I got my GoPro, I would set it up and, you know, be so thankful to, like, get 16 gigabytes of video data, which is not that much, you know, in video terms, but, you know, like, you gotta constantly keep your equipment charged. You have to carry all your memory cards with you, and then you have to keep them organized. Definitely. And all that stuff. It's just like, you know, if you were to buy, how many memory cards did you bring?
I carried with me about 120 gigs worth of memory cards just in case. I mean, I didn't ever use all those in one day, obviously, but that's how many memory card worth of gigabytes I had.
So then after, at night, would you have to download all that? And then
it got a lot to do at night, because since I was camping, I didn't have instant access to Wi-Fi and charging, so I had to go to the charging station, transfer all my photos, edit some of the photos for the next day's blog, and charge all my equipment all at the same time. It ended up taking a couple hours, and just sort of retracting from Oshkosh. So, yeah, it's a way different experience when you're media.
Mark, do you think you would like that?
You know, I'm hesitating only because here I said I was there for 2 days and it certainly wasn't enough. And then I hear Ian saying, yeah, a week's a long time. I think this year the weather was so perfect and I love photography. Yeah. I wanted to get involved with photography as a youngster. That I think I would enjoy it. I just don't know if I could just keep up the pace for a full week.
I would say, however, if you're going there just to enjoy, like, just to purely soak in Oshkosh, hang out with friends, I think a week is, you can definitely stand a week. I think I could have done it as well. But if you're mixing in other obligations, it catches up with you at the end of the week, definitely. So.
Man, that's pretty intense. So what kind of pressure did you feel, you know, to capture good images? Of course, you know, you're probably looking for, you know, a great picture, you know, just for your own reputation. But like what, you know, going to Oshkosh and you having this pressure against you, what was that like of trying to do a good job?
Well, luckily, what I went there for Oshbash, that was on Wednesday, I believe. That was the only thing I was concentrated on media-wise, for the week. I was pretty focused on, you know, getting the nice shots during that event for Airplaneista. Other than that, I didn't feel a whole lot of pressure. I know I had to, upload some edits every day, but other than that, it wasn't a big deal. But I will say, through my luck, while I was shooting for Airplaneista, the night after that when I go to check out all the shots, my memory card actually was ruined. I couldn't find the photos. And that had their shots and Amelia's shots. So I was freaking out, and long story short, I couldn't find them during Oshkosh, so luckily someone else at Oshbash had the shots. But that's just part of photography, and sadly, it had to happen to me at that moment.
It's kind of like starting a radio show and have everything break down on
exactly.
you.
Exactly. I felt terrible because you can't control that kind of thing, and that was the one event that it shouldn't have happened on, and it did. But I was able to recover all the photos through a software program, and now I have them, so that's a nice story.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. That's a good thing. That's a so did you share were the pictures needed immediately, or were they, you know, are they, now that you have them, is everybody happy?
Someone else was able to fill the spot of the, you know, instant need. Now that I have them, I'm going to go in and edit them and make them look nice if they need them again for press stuff or whatnot. But yeah, it's gone and it's past. So all you can do is hope next year is better.
Yeah, yeah.
And is this an annual gig where you'll be doing the press thing?
I'm not sure. I hope I can do some press next year for someone. So we'll see. Not too stressed out about it. So
yeah.
We'll have to get Simple Flight media badges.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know what? It's not a bad idea.
I think you definitely could. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we can hire Ian as our traveling photographer or something. I don't know.
I would love to.
We could? No, I'm just kidding. No, that'd be awesome. I think that it sounds like it's a unique perspective to do that. And you know, there was a lot of people that said, "Hey, why don't you get a little microphone and go around and do a show from Oshkosh and everything like that?" And of course, that would be a lot of fun. It's, you know, there's something that about that seems exhausting in a bit.
Oh yeah, it's and I know some other, you know, media outlets that are doing video, like other people's airplanes and you know, things like that, and I can't hold a stick to what they have to do. I don't know if they ever sleep during Oshkosh. That's how much work they put in. So, I mean, it gets pretty ridiculous, and I have a lot of respect for people that do this as their day job. So,
yeah, totally. I mean, that's pretty incredible. So, how is this turned into? You know, if you go on your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed, you're starting to post pictures of the things that you've started to, you know, capture and edit, and you know, the finished products, which look awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
There was one, what was it? Was it an extra 300 or something like that with the Breitling? And
Oh yeah. It's one of my favorite shots I think I took at Oshkosh.
Yeah.
So
how has this kind of turned you, like, has this rekindled your passion for aviation photography, or are you going to be, like, airliners.net number one photography contributor or something like that?
You know, it's not, you know, aviation photography is my favorite type of photography to do, but I love photography in the whole sense. I like to think of myself sort of as a creative, as an entrepreneur, and, you know, it flows over in photography. But, you know, it's not something I want to pursue professionally. I love doing it on the side, and I will do side gigs and such, but I really enjoy editing photos and all that fun stuff.
Nice.
I sort of forgot your question there, so I was trying to fill in the gap.
Yeah. Hey, you just pulled an L.
Yeah, I was going to say he could be on our show.
Yeah,
every week.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's a that's awesome. It's the little awkward moment.
I'm making this episode even better for you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
The infamy.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, as you were walking around, you ran into Amelia Earhart. You said you did a little press work for her. How did that come about? Because that's pretty cool. When you first told me that, I was like, man, that's awesome.
I like to think of it as, you know, it's networking. It's the way you take advantage of networking yourself with others. And her and I have been in contact through Heading 370, Twitter. I first heard of her on your guys' show, Simple Flight. And we got in contact, and I knew she was at Oshkosh, and she tweeted me, and I knew she was at, I forget what the watchmaker's booth was, but I went over there.
Abington, I think it is.
Yes. And I went over there and introduced myself, and then I started having a conversation with her and her publicist. They so happened not to have any photographer on hand for the press release the next following day of her flight around the world. They noticed that I was there on media, and boom, that's how I got the gig, and I did a little press, a couple hours, taking shots of her while she was preparing for the press release and after and all that fun stuff. She's a great person to work with, really nice, and I can't wait to see her progress throughout this flight around the world.
Yeah, that's less than a year away.
Yeah, definitely. In a Pilatus. So.
I know. I actually, we haven't talked too much about it. Maybe I brought it up once before. I thought she might be in a smaller airplane with four seats, as a matter of fact, and a piston. I was pretty excited for that. I'm still excited for her to get, she gets to do it. But I don't know, something about just being a little four-seater.
Yeah.
Add something to the aura, if you will, at least in my opinion, which isn't worth anything.
Not many people get a Pilatus fully customized for a trip, though, and that's pretty neat.
Oh, it's awesome. Matter of fact, I was telling Al I'm going to change my name to Amelia.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a really cool flight, and and everything. So how long were you with how long was the press conference for that, and you know, how long did you spend taking pictures for Amelia?
I took photos for about 4 hours during that day. The press release wasn't very long. It was maybe 20 minutes, 15 minutes. But yeah, I got to know a lot of her staff and her publicist and some other media people with her, so it was a great experience, to say the least.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. That's really cool that you got these little experiences, and you know, it's finally putting faces and connecting people through that. You know, I know one thing that I've kind of lived vicariously through you, through Twitter, and the, you know, over Oshkosh, is the people that, you know, that you see on Twitter regularly, and you know, here you are, you're catching them in action and putting faces to the names and stuff like that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great to meet some. It's funny, you consider a lot of these people you're even best friends sometimes, and you haven't even met, and then you can finally meet, and it's, nothing's different. So it's a different world now with social media, but it's great. It's absolutely awesome.
Well, and it's difficult. I listen to you and all that. I don't have time to read blogs. I don't have time to do a lot of the tweets, but yet I see the power, and maybe it's because I don't earn my living in aviation. But to your point, at Oshkosh, I saw our guest, Charles Stites, who's the executive director of Able Flight, as he was giving out their wings to six people dealing with disabilities that they're in the wings, and Tyson mm-hmm. Weiss was there, who of course was a guest, and then Don Semple of Angel Flight, who I had met before. I hear, hey Mark, and just it was like on that one day I just kept on bumping into either former guests of the show or people that just know. I got a few tweets, met some of our listeners. It was an awesome day, to your point about just the networking that comes out all because of social media.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. Without social media, I don't know how well my network would be built up right now. So, it's awesome.
You know, what's cool is that, you know, Ian, you mentioned that, you know, everybody's kind of the same, or, you know, through their Twitter and everything, and you kind of, you know, develop a friendship. And to add to that, you know, there was Jacob Eiting, who was on our show. I went out to San Francisco and finished his instrument rating with him, and when he picked me up at the airport, you know, it was like, cool, because we Skyped a bunch. We did, you know, he was on Twitter, we tweeted left and right, he was on the show, and then, but I never had met the guy. And then, like, when we got in the car, like, he was like, oh, hey, how you doing? Let's put, you know, he's like, dinner's ready at, you know, my place and stuff like that. And then I'm sitting there, and we're on the highway, and I'm like, shoot, man, it's good to meet you. He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. We've never met before.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Exactly.
But look at it from someone like my age. It's crazier than crazy, right?
Yeah.
How so?
Because we used to send, well, now I sound like my parents sounded. You know, we would send something in the mail, a U.S. mail letter. Because there was no such thing as email. So just,
yeah.
So you didn't have email, you didn't have the internet. You listened to radio shows that were local to your town. So it was just different. And I remember my great grandmother just could not understand the concept of TV. She didn't know how that person was in that box. You know, this is going obviously way back. And while it's not the same, certainly the technology is understandable to me and all, it's just amazing. Again, everything from tweets to text to sending video over the internet, I've loved every second of it, but I find it hard to stay abreast of all the new technologies coming. It's just so fast and furious.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, it's cool. It's neat how aviation's going to evolve like that and really make connections. You know, aviation, I've always said, aviation gets exactly what it wants out of you, and it's your job to get exactly what you want out of aviation. And I think social media is really enabling people to do that, which is cool.
So I have to ask Ian, you know, you spent so much time over a week seeing all of Oshkosh, and obviously people like myself that were there only a short amount of time only saw certain points. Was there something, whether it be a technology or just something you hadn't seen before, that kind of stood out as, wow, that was cool, or that's going to change the industry?
You know, I hate to admit this, but I was never a huge fan of the Terra Fugia, but when I saw it fly, it was actually pretty cool. It was way cooler than I'd ever anticipated, seeing the Terra Fugia, the flying car, if no one knows what the Terra Fugia is.
We all know. And it, you know what's funny? As you started to talk, I thought, I bet you he's going to talk about the Terra Fugia. I still fell in love with the Icon A5 as I do every year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's there, and then it's there, and then it's there every year. So the Terra Fugia was definitely cool to see fly. Yeah, I'd say that's something that stuck out in my mind. So.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. I did not see it fly, but that's your impression of what you said, the Icon. I felt like that was the Terra Fugia, whatever it's pronounced as, because I had seen it the year before.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily love the look, but I love the concept.
Yeah, it's definitely something that can be evolved, and I bet you in the next handful of years it's going to look even cooler. So, yeah.
Yeah. I felt the audience or the attendance may have been down. I don't have any facts to support that. But I thought the energy, and I'll call it positive energy, was way up over the past couple of years. Did you feel the same thing?
I kept telling all my friends during the week, like, man, as compared to the last 3 years I've been here, it seems like there's not as many aircraft and not as many people. I don't know what the numbers were. I looked at them, but I didn't really comprehend them. And so, yeah, I would agree with you. It didn't look like there were as many people there. But I think everyone there was ecstatic being there. Everyone loved being there, and the excitement you could definitely feel off of everyone. So.
Yeah. Although the thing that upset me, it made me feel there's too many people there. I got my little stop by Jepson, and you get a free hat.
Uh-huh.
And then the first day I went, well, they were out. I was on, AOPA had me as part of a panel, so I didn't get there till 10 a.m., even though I got to the grounds like 7 a.m. I was on Tuesday. Yeah. I could have really seen you. And then I got back on the weekend. They said it was only Monday through Friday. So I said I'd rather have something from Heading 370 anyway. So
definitely.
Forget you guys.
Well, we can definitely hook you up there. No problem.
Perfect.
So
that's a riot. There was a I just went brain dead. Shoot.
Uh-oh. Now you sound like Ian.
Yeah.
New, hey?
Oh man. Yeah, exactly. No, there was something pretty cool. But you had a little bit of an insight into this little Twitter hashtag, and I know we talked about this off air and you didn't go, but everybody, and I think I saw a couple blog posts too about this, but there's a little hashtag floating around that said Camp Bacon.
Yeah.
What is that? And did it smell good?
Sadly, I was not able to attend Camp Bacon this year, but from my understanding, and I think I have a pretty good grasp on what Camp Bacon is, it's a lot of these, a lot of us friends on Twitter. Larry Overstreet, I think, is one of the beginners of Camp Bacon. If you camp at Camp Schuller, which is a campgrounds for anyone that drives in to Oshkosh, you can have a campsite. And what this group of Twitter friends and everyone do is they set aside a really large campsite and they all camp in this square lotted area. And they love bacon. And so they have a bacon party. I think it was on Tuesday, maybe Monday or Tuesday. They had, a bacon party where everyone comes and eats bacon and stuff and, you know, just talks about aviation. And so it's just a big group of friends that camp out together at the same spot every year. And, they invite everyone to come party with them. And I wish I could have made it, but I was unable to.
You know, that's the part I missed. I was not there in the evening, so I was most looking.
Time.
Oh, I agree with you. I've been there before, and I would have gone to Camp Kosher instead of Camp Bacon, but I would still, you know, there was from the bikini bar to the little tents that have pizzas and a little bit of wine and cheese. I love that time, and that was my big disappointment this year that I didn't get to participate.
It's party with a side of Oshkosh, so.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So.
Next
that's
year
cool.
For sure.
Yeah, that's, you know, I had a little pack for, you know, I made to myself. It'd be like, all right, next year I want to fly in with my sleeping bag and a tent and probably a generator with a little portable air conditioner or something like that. And a, and just in camp and find, you know, like, yeah, just, you know, absolutely rough it and experience that because that's a really cool thing. And, you know, I know we said it a bunch of times, but social media has really kind of allowed the play up of that. But when I was walking around last year, I remember my phone, it didn't really work that well. Mm-hmm. And it's just like picking up data connections. I think there was like, you know, 30,000 people trying to work off of one cell phone tower. How was the data connection from your phone?
I would totally have to agree there. It's obviously not the best because you have thousands upon thousands of people wanting to tweet every single airplane out there. So it definitely was slow and then in turn drained your battery and in turn you had to worry about charging your phone and in turn you didn't have somewhere to charge it. And so it was always a constant headache, but, you get through it. So it was definitely slower than your normal daily use.
Right. I want to throw that out there as a new pilot stressor and, is having a charged phone or a charged iPad. And that's like a, you know, I guess it goes for anybody, but, you know, especially for aviation, it's like, that's your lifeline to filing flight plans, your charts and stuff like that. If you use ForeFlight and all the others.
It's your lifeline to Instagram. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do when your news feed went dead?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a that's the stuff that's like that would wear you out just mentally of just, you know, you're sitting in the you know, in a Cirrus you know, enjoying the the static demo, and then you're just like that little elf inside of you is like, hey, your phone's gonna die, your phone's gonna die, you know, it's like
constantly checking the percentage.
Yeah,
it's just going down every time you check it, so you try not to check it, but you have to check it.
All right, I've got it. I've got the next big thing for you guys then. A good friend of Al's and mine flew his 310 up there with his family, and guess what he forgot? His charger.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so man. I saw him yesterday, and he said he found this little solar thing that for $40-$50. You plug your phone in there, and it charges by the sun. He said it lasted 3 days. He never missed his charger. The phone was constantly charged because it just took solar power and charged his iPhone or whatever phone. I think it was an iPhone.
Wow.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I also have a friend that does that as well. Yeah, I'm sort of envious of him.
That's gnarly. I like that.
Yeah,
did he end up buying that up at Oshkosh?
Yeah, he got there. He bought it, and he said, I never missed a beat. It constantly was being charged. You know, it's just, of course, it's helped that we had beautiful weather for all the days he was up there. But yeah, he said it worked perfectly, and he didn't miss his original charger at all, which I thought was kind of funny and how fortuitous that he found that.
Cool.
You know, they also have these cases that you can put on your phone that they're from a company called Mophie. And they can give you anywhere from 80 to like 180% more battery life a day.
I think I think a friend of yours and mine has that already, and I think he's on the line right now.
Yes,
Al has that. Listen,
those are a must need if you're flying. And I ended up getting a little extra. They make a little charger pack, just like a little battery brick, if you will. And I've got one of those too, because you know what's it's unless you have a full charger setup, which you know that's the one thing I'd love to give a what's in your flight bag talk now. You know, now that everybody has iPads, it's like it should be a bullet charger with two ports and all the charger cables that you need, plus a Morphe and a battery brick with, you know, double extra cables.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's it. And cool sunglasses.
Aviators, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and a flashlight.
Yeah, exactly.
That will charge your solar cell because the flashlight has the rays of the sun encapsulated or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. So we have a text message actually came through, and this goes for Ian. What are the three things that you would not leave home without in your flight bag? Maybe
in my flight bag, just in general, or for Oshkosh?
Let's do both.
Oh man. Okay. Well, obviously, I'm a huge Ray-Bans guy, and I can't leave home without my Ray-Bans. Those are sunglasses, and let's see here. It would be my iPad mini now. Love it.
Nice.
And does your phone count? I mean, I need your phone.
I think that's a personal extension of your body.
Okay, a personal extension. So my iPad mini, my aviators, and my Zulu headset.
Yep, there it is.
So those are the essentials.
Did you look at the new Zulus, the PSC or whatever, PSX?
I didn't have a time to stop there and check them out. Plus, I don't really like putting on sweaty headsets from a thousand other people that have tried them on.
Now you tell me.
That's just me.
Yeah. They were in beta. They actually, I didn't think they worked that well. I mean, I'm sure when the product finally ships, it'll be wonderful. But I tried it, and I said, you know, right now, I'd actually take my current Zulus or, of course...
Oh, I love my Zulus. It's like the first day I bought them, they're still in wonderful shape and work great. Best purchase of my life, almost, so...
Cool.
Oh, I know what I was going to... When I went brain dead, I know exactly what I was going to talk about. And this is this goes to a conversation about 10, 15 minutes ago, but about the energy of Oshkosh. The attendance may have been down, but the energy is kind of up, if you will. There was a the next business day after Oshkosh, I was up in Duluth, back here in Duluth, at Cirrus, and at 8 a.m., you should have felt the energy in the VOD, the post-Oshkosh VOD, the first hour after Oshkosh.
Depression?
No.
Oh.
The place was like rocking and rolling. They had, at Oshkosh, they had sold 14.
Oh, well, yeah, I would be happy too.
Yeah, no, they, you know, but this was a much different, you know, from a vendor standpoint. This was a lot different as well. You know, they said they never expect to sell any airplanes at Oshkosh. And, you know, they usually sell two or three. This year they sold 14 at Oshkosh within a week. And, you know, people were there, you know, they were, you know, a destination. Which was kind of cool. You know, people just, you know, that's why they went rather than, you know, just to go see everything all encompassing.
I will admit, I did go in the Cirrus tent and I did sit in the, Vision jet and I did fall in love with that jet and I will own that someday. But, they had a really nice setup there, I will admit. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, that would be, that's really cool. You know, so there's definitely, you know, from our perspectives, you know, a Twitter perspective, a media perspective, and just like a general perspective that the energy level was up. And then even from a vendor perspective of just being there, you know, and seeing the post Oshkosh vibe that was still rocking and rolling. I've got good high hopes.
Let's hope.
Yeah. And I totally agree. And again, I wasn't sure if it was just me, but everyone just seemed to be happier. Vendors, just like, was acceptance of bad times behind us, good times in front of us. That's the best way I could characterize it.
Yeah, totally.
I think they had a record, didn't they have a record number of exhibitors this year? I think they had one of their biggest numbers of exhibitors this year, so.
Really?
I don't know.
Do you think that's because people are thinking that aviation is a great place to be an entrepreneur?
I mean, your show shows that there's a ton of new talent in the entrepreneurship aviation realm. And you saw a lot of those companies at Oshkosh. So yeah, I think there's a turnaround coming.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, there's like, you know, if you look at, you know, there's, like the outside booths, right? And then there's like the side hall booths.
Yeah.
You know, in the little hangers and stuff.
Yeah.
They have, I think those companies are the ones in the hangers are really cool. You know, and they're just very cool. And it's just a bunch of people just doing what they love. Like, let's say the watch, was it Abigail Watches?
Abington.
Yeah. Abington Watches. And, you know, just
doing M0A was there. That was sort of cool to see.
M0A, nice. I don't even know what that is. I'm going to have to, I'm putting that on the guest list.
Well, actually, and I guess maybe I have to call him, but maybe next week is flythesim.com. You know, the touch trainer. And I met up with those guys. They want to be on the radio show and not quite the Cirrus thing, but they had sold a bunch of sims, including their demo equipment there, so they didn't have to pack it up and take it back to California. They sold it right there. So I think it was overall lot of energy and a lot of positive feelings for those vendors.
Something that sort of sparked something that I remember talking about at Oshkosh this year is sort of random, but we found out that some people love Oshkosh so much that they actually rent a storage locker thing, and they shove all their Oshkosh stuff in there, keep it there over the year, and then they pull it all out for Oshkosh every year. I never even thought of that. It's sort of cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's dedication right there.
Exactly.
I'm so excited to hear you talk about this, Al, because it wasn't just but a month ago you were talking about the air show is dead. I'm not going to Oshkosh. Look at you, Mr. Convert.
Yep. I got a little wind back in my sail from all this, and it's pretty cool. You know, it's a contagious vibe.
Well, and I think the thing I always say is that this community, and maybe it's a contagious vibe, but to the point Ian was making earlier, we're all kind of friends. Certainly there's some of those rubs that go the wrong way, but it's just nice during that week when I'm there, I don't have to worry about, am I talking about something that's boring people? Yeah, there goes Mark with the airplanes again. They share the same feeling, the passion.
It's very, you don't see in the normal world, you just go up to a stranger and start talking to them. And there it's, you know, encouraged. You just randomly sit by someone and ask them what they fly, and then you can talk for an hour for the rest of the day. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, while eating a strawberry chill.
Yeah.
I always grab those when I get thirsty.
Those are delicious.
$4, but I'll gladly pay it.
Without a doubt. I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, very cool. Well, that's it sounds like it's a, you know, Ian, we appreciate your perspective on Oshkosh this year and all the cool stuff that you've partaken in on Twitter and kind of been our eyes on the ground and things like that, and produce some cool content. So that's really cool.
No, thanks for having me on to talk about Oshkosh for a little while.
Yeah.
Totally.
And let's not wait till next year. You know, we were supposed to, maybe I shouldn't say supposed to, we had the opportunity to meet up and didn't make it happen. So in my travels of yours, let's kind of keep in touch over our Twitter, and maybe we'll make that happen. If not, then definitely Oshkosh next year.
Oh, definitely. I'll be up in Chicago. So we'll definitely connect, one way or another.
Very good. Well, again,
awesome.
Yeah, again, thanks for spending your evening with us. Continued success with Heading 370.
Thank you.
And, we'll look for some pictures out of Oshkosh that have your byline on them.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks.
Bye-bye now.
See ya.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
I love it.
I love it too. And actually, I come away, you know, we talk a little green-eyed lady and the jealousy. And so not jealousy. I'm opening my eyes and, you know, I made a statement that I have a tough time keeping up with my normal 9-to-5 job. And I want to be part of this community, the Twitter and all of that when it comes to aviation. And I'm coming away with tonight just feeling, you know what, Mark, then just do it. Because there's some fantastic people like Ian and all our other Twitter friends that it's what life's about. Kind of being with people that make you happy and share similar feelings about, in this case, aviation.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's awesome to see. It's awesome to be a part of. And it's I'm jealous and I'm mad that I didn't go to it this year. You know, the full-time gig got in the way of that, but, you know, there was I think that's next year's going to be even better.
Did you take a look at some of those pictures that, a couple of our friends that I went with, Todd, myflightblog.com and Freddie Lou?
Yeah.
So, I mean, those were awesome pictures. And to my point I made earlier, you forget how wonderful a good camera in terms of sharing an experience, because I've stopped taking pictures with my iPhone because they're nothing more than, oh yeah, I remember when that happened, but they don't emit emotion like a good photograph.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There would be a it's pretty incredible you know, seeing some of those pictures, and you know, the shots that you guys got on your trip up there were really cool.
Yeah, and we didn't have our fancy little lanyard that let us get up to the thing, but we were near the front of the line of the air shows, and again, those guys just put you right inside the cockpit with the quality cameras that they carried, and obviously they had some talent as well.
Yeah, totally. Totally. You know what, I was, and part of me was thinking, you know, kind of, I guess sort of moving off topic a little bit, but,
nice segue.
Yeah, thank you. I'm smooth. Yeah, The more I realize I'm a horrible live DJ or co-host.
Why is that?
I don't know. I stumble over my words. I get I'm not smooth with my transitions. And
where the hell did this go? What is this, like a confession show?
Yeah,
Dr. Phil.
I'm no Amelia Earhart. That's for sure.
Well, there's only one Amelia, or two.
Yeah, exactly. But no, okay, so getting back to what I was on Twitter talking with another former guest that we were talking about earlier, Jacob Eiting.
Hey,
and he's going to be coming back on the show. He's developing a new product, and it's kind of in beta testing at the moment. But, the cool thing is that I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, there's guys out there like me, like him, like Ian, and we love flying, but, how do we fly correctly and fly the way that we want to fly and do it, and cheap, on the cheap side of things, if you will. So not
flying cheaply?
Yeah, going out and flying cheaply.
Remember our guest Jim Stone? He had spending joyfully and flying cheaply. I like it.
Yeah, flying cheaply. If you start repeating that, it starts to sound funny, cheaply. But there is a, I don't know what has gotten into me lately, but I'm really loving like Cherokee 140s and like 152s.
Hey, those are great airplanes. Don't worry about, what's that, what's gotten into you. It's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it is a good thing. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, okay, well, a 152, it's a two-person airplane, but, like today, I flew up to Duluth on the airlines. I had to connect through Minneapolis, and, flying from O'Hare to Duluth has been a flight, that I've been starting to regularly kind of do with students up here at Cirrus, and they, it's kind of crazy because, it's weird that you have to stop in this extra city, Minneapolis. And I was going through security today, and I had a very awkward situation today going through security.
Uh-oh. Strip search?
Very close. They're about ready to administer one. But so I was going through security, and I made sure that I checked my bag, and I made sure to put everything in my backpack so I didn't have to – anything out of my pockets, and I didn't wear a belt today, because I knew that I had to go through security and everything. So I was just going, so the only thing I had to take out of my bag was my computer.
Of course.
So, which was simple enough, and my backpack has got a little computer pocket, so it's pretty easy to do. So I took off my shoes, pulled out my computer and put my backpack on the conveyor belt, went through the scanner, everything was fine. And I picked up on the other side of the sterile side, I was putting my shoes back on, I picked up my computer, and I was putting it back in my bag, and the TSA agent said, "Is this yours?" I said, "Yep." And they're like, "Okay, we would like to do a random, swab on this." I'm like, "Okay." So they're like, "Here, just meet me over here at the machine." Well, as they wiped my computer down with their little cloth and tested it, it set off the explosive alarm. And they're like, "Oh, well, now that we've got an alarm, get all of your belongings, come over here, you're going to have to get a pat down, we got to swab all of your belongings." And I'm like, "You got to be kidding me." So I go over there.
Oh my God, what a nightmare.
Yeah, so I go over there, and they start swabbing again. They're like, "Oh, it's probably just a false alarm, but we have to do this." Well, the explosive alarm goes off again. And they're like, "Oh, wow, well, we have a, this is kind of weird." It's like, "You decided to be a problem child today, didn't you?" I'm like,
"Did they really say that?"
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. I'm like, "No, not really. I didn't decide that. And, I don't know what's going on." They're like, "Well, there's something setting off the alarm. It's some B2 explosive." And I'm like, "Whoa, that's weird." So they're like, "Well, let's try another machine, on the other side of the security lane." So they try another machine, and that machine goes off with the explosive alarm. They're like, "Okay, that's it. We gotta call the airport police and the explosive experts at the TSA here and get them down here and make an assumption I'm like, okay.
What's your real name? I don't know if I want to hang around you anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It was, you know, so it was just weird because then, so finally they emptied all the stuff out of my bag. They're like, okay, we got to search everything. And I had my airplane headset in my backpack. And they're like, what is this? And I'm like, we've never seen one of these before. I'm like, well, it's a pilot's aviation headset. They're like, well, why do you have this? I'm like, well, because I'm a pilot.
And oh, my goodness, what a day in Minneapolis. Was that O'Hare or Minneapolis?
Yeah, it was at O'Hare.
Oh, my goodness.
And they couldn't believe, you know, they thought it was suspicious that I had that. And, we talked about all the electronics with Ian and the cell phone chargers and the Morphe's and the battery bricks. Well, I had all that in my backpack because my backpack is my flight bag. And, they're like, wow, you carry a lot of electronics with you. This is an abnormal amount. I'm just like, no, this is like normal for me, you know, and then, I'm a pilot. I'm trying to go to work and, you know, they started detaining me and asking me questions and stuff like that. So when they pulled me aside for 45 minutes, like while we were there, going through my stuff, the explosive experts were there. Going through all this stuff, and I'm just like, man, if I only had a 152.
Yeah, right. That's unbelievable. I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had where they want to patch you down, and I, you know, I go through where the x-ray machines, or what, not the x-ray, where they scanners, and I seem to have a problem with those, and I try to always find the lane that doesn't put you through those because they always want to touch me after that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, this is weird, you know, and, it's just crazy that it happened like that, and,
did you miss your flight?
No, I was like one of the last few people on, and, ended up getting there on time, thankfully, but, you know, they're like, you know, with each explosive alarm, more and more people started to come over and make sure that I didn't leave, and, you know, they patted me down, and then they took the gloves that they had. You know, they used to pat me down. They test those for samples. I'm just like, man, what's with this? And the guy. So anyway, the guy is I'm repacking the TSA agent has all my stuff in like five different bins, and she's like, would you like me to repack your bag for you? And I'm just like, okay, that's really sweet of you. I've got my own system. She's like, oh, thank God, because I thought you might have had your own system, and I would have got it wrong. And I'm like, yeah, you probably would have.
Well, sounds like they had a little bit, not a sense of humor, at least understanding that you're not some terrorist. Did they ever explain what went wrong and why they had decided to let you go if they couldn't figure it out?
Well, I was just sitting there, like, kind of calm, you know, just like, yeah, what the guy's like, well, thank you for your cooperation and working with us. And I'm like, well, you know, what else am I going to do? Like sit here and fight, you know, and then get into bigger trouble than I am? You know, it's like, they're like, well, you know, a lot of people do actually. And I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of dumb. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't want to be, you know, I told them, I'm like, I don't want to be here just as much as you don't want to be, you know, searching me. And feeling bad about it if that's really how you feel. So
why did they say it went off in the end? Could they explain why you had all this explosive smells?
No, they couldn't. They had, well, it's a guy, like, as I was packing up, the guy's like, hey, you might want to, like, get a new bag, you know, or this is going to cause a problem down the road. I'm just like, okay, well, that's, you know, that's good to know. But the one thing that I was thinking is that, you know, they kept asking me, like, oh, have you played golf lately? I'm like, no. They're like, there's chemicals on the golf courses that set these alarms off. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I don't play golf. They're like, oh, that's weird. But I do take my backpack and I put it down on the ramp quite a bit, which I'm thinking that it somehow, you know, there's fuel leaks and oil leaks and stuff like that.
Oh, interesting.
That could be, you know, somehow, that's the only thing that I can think of. I mean, I sure don't have a closet full of C4 that I, keep my backpack in, but.
Yeah, maybe, an M80 over a 4th of July weekend. You have a couple firecrackers you put in there, right?
Yeah, tons.
Yeah. When I said M80, I realized you probably don't know what an M80 is.
It's a firecracker.
It is a firecracker. Good job, man. Good job.
Thanks.
Yeah. We'll get you hooked up all right.
Yeah.
So that's quite an experience. I understand why we do it, but I hate that we have to go through it. You know, and it pisses me off, quite honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it totally solved, it's solidified in my mind that GA has a purpose.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm also like, hey, you know, how can a guy like me, like, fly up to Duluth and not fly on the airlines and not have it break the bank? That's a pretty big dilemma. Aviation costs money, but how do you go about that?
Right, and especially when you can get, and I do this, I shouldn't say I, we all do it. When I go visit my son in Kansas City, that's an expensive trip. Whatever your hourly rate, it'll always be cheap. I shouldn't say always, but generally, if it's a one-person trip, it's going to be cheaper by the airlines and faster.
Yeah.
Maybe not faster if you got a lot of TSA holdups and things like that, and door-to-door, who the heck knows. But you can't try and justify GA, and so how do you fly cheaply, to your original point?
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking, like, you know, there is a relating this back to my conversation with Jacob Eiting, you know, he's like, yeah, Cherokee 140s and 152s and 150s, they all have their kind of place. And he said, it's like, no, there is no marketing team out there for 1964 Cherokee 140s or 1970 152s other than controller.com. And I was like, hey, you know, that's kind of a cool idea, because you can go out, you know, and, I was thinking that you could, like, retrofit these things for like the Generation Y, where you, like, strap in, like, a little Verizon wireless hotspot, you know, so that you could have internet in it, and then, like, hardwire an iPad with the USB chargers, and, you know, just have a Mode-C transponder, one radio, and a VOR with a localizer and glide slope on it. That would be cool.
It is, but now I have to ask you the question. You know, I say when I'm flying the Cirrus, you take your driving time and divide by four. When you fly an Archer, maybe you divide by two. You're getting
right.
A 150 or a 140, now it's not quite divided by two. So what point are you saying, I should have just driven? And I fly just like you because I love it. But it doesn't always make the most sense from a time and money perspective.
Yeah, so I'm saying for me to see now putting the value for me would be, okay, I could get rid of that TSA experience, and then, you know, an hour and a half connection, and then, you know, riding on a horribly cramped, you know, CRJ that's restricted to 10,000 feet because both packs, meaning the air conditioning, doesn't work. You know, it's just like, ugh. So they have a, you know, that to avoid that, that's worth something. It's either worth time or money or both. And I think you could still make the trip faster than you could on the airlines if you were going to fly directly. It'll probably be more expensive, but, you know, that's okay.
But is it that much faster than the car?
Oh, yeah, a 9-hour drive. Yeah, absolutely.
And how long will it take you against the wind in a 150?
It could take 4 or 5 hours.
Okay. Well, then I stand corrected. Then it's half the time, which is worth it.
Yeah. I mean, now if you're going to be, I think in flying, no matter what you're going to fly, it's going to be, you know, faster just because of straight line distance and things like that. And you're going at least 90 miles an hour, as opposed to 60 or 70. So it's not that much faster, but at least, you know, over time it quickly adds up, and at a 6 gallon burn rate per hour, that's not bad.
No, not at all. And, you know, to my point earlier, it's fun.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. you know, you could have a, you know, what would be cool is to have, so I was thinking, my creative mind was flowing this week, and, you know, I was like, okay, if you were to, you know, if Gen Ys were going to buy 152s or buy their airplanes, you know, which the only thing that, you know, Gen Y, the average Gen Y person could afford is exactly that, a 152, a 150, or a Cherokee 140. You know, like, how could you trick that out for somebody that's, you know, my age that likes that stuff? And I was thinking, you know, you could get the iPad mounted in there with, you know, you put in your USB chargers, you know, get a little Verizon wireless hot, you know, Wi-Fi hotspot, and then, you know, like, zip tie it somewhere, so you just turn it on, have that thing plugged in, so you can get Wi-Fi up there, and, you know, maybe a cool audio panel that you can play music through.
Well, and I just go back to that little Sky Arrow we had. The owner put in, we had a USB port, ADS-B, he was, you know, you say trick it out, I'll use that term, to that generation. I thought, what a great idea. You know, upgrade the avionics in an inexpensive LSA-like airplane, yet it has the electronics and the environment that someone would like, from, like you say, the Gen Ys.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. I don't know, so I was thinking, like, and then, you know, as I was talking with, you know, I was talking with Jacob Biting. He's like, hey, you know what? This is actually kind of cool because there's, like, those airplanes need love too. Or, you know, I don't know.
Maybe there's a business here where we take old 140s and 150s and put in the stuff you're talking about, put a nice paint job on them, put in some Garmin-type stuff, and fix the problems that the LSAs haven't been able to fix, which is cost of getting into an airplane.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be, you know, that would be pretty cool, and you could have a, you know, if you were to do your own cheap gas and, you know, just, you know, be strategic about it and make cheap fuel stops, it's going to be, I think you could really do it pretty cheaply.
Yeah. You know, I just realized you can't hear my sound effects. I finally got them working here, and 2 hours into the show, and I just did a hallelujah, and you kept talking, but I just, you don't get it in Duluth.
Yeah, no, I don't get many things.
Yeah, oh my
especially
goodness.
Especially in Duluth. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that would be cool. I would, I'd give you a spare key to it, to a little 152.
Yeah, actually, you know, what was interesting, a gentleman that has an Archer that, you know, you and I know in our club.
Yeah.
Today he said, hey, you know, he wants me to fly it a little bit. And I thought, well, how cool is that? You know, I know he had put me on the insurance just in case, but, he said, hey, you know, I need you to put some hours on this thing as well. So I'm all excited because I hadn't been in that. It's a relatively very new Archer with a Garmin 500 and all that. So I'm excited to get into a new airplane, even though it's not the fastest thing. It's still an airplane, and got tweeted here by our friend Midwest Flight Lines, and he said, it's all flying, right? That's all that matters, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So that's really what it boils down to. And that's why I like the, you know, the 152s or the little LSAs or an Archer, just because it's, you know, as you put it, you're in the air longer.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. If anything that makes you fly longer is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Hey, you know what? I pulled an Al Waterloo. Something I was thinking about 15 minutes ago totally slipped out of my mind, and it's still out of my mind, so I'm hoping that before we hit the top of the hour we get it. But one of the things I know we were talking about off air was kind of our counterpart, and because we got kind of a late start due to my technical difficulties here. You had talked to me about taking a Cirrus into O'Hare,
right.
Class Bravo. And so, you know, I've been thinking about that, and it's kind of like Mount Everest because it's there. Why do you climb it? Because it's there.
Right.
But some people that would fly a bigger iron might see us as an imposition, and we're doing it not out of necessity, although it could be out of necessity, but we're flying out of into O'Hare kind of more as a bucket list item, and I understand there's some people that think that's just rude and not fair to the rest of the system.
Right.
So what do you think about that?
There was a, you know, there was, so I ended up flying, I flew out of O'Hare in a Cirrus with a student, two students actually 2 weeks ago, last time I was up in Duluth. And, you know, part of it was their dream, you know, and, you know, they wanted to go in and out of bigger airports. They want to start doing that. And part of it was that one of the students was from South Africa, and he ended up, you know, he said, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm never really going to be back here to fly and do something like this. So it's like, this is totally my dream. Just like, you know, going to Oshkosh is everybody's dream. So from that standpoint, it's like, okay, yeah, we're going, you know, and then, so I got this cool picture. It's on Cirrus's Facebook page, and you can kind of see the conversation that went around. But the little caption that I put on there was just, it was a plug for the Cirrus, and now that it has 150 knot flap speed, the white arc for it, if you will, not necessarily the white arc, but just the approach setting. And I said, the nice thing about the Generation 5 airplane is that 150 knot flap speed is that you can overtake a Boeing 757 on final going into Chicago's O'Hare. You know? So you think, like, that's the cool thing. Like, what you always, as a GA pilot, you know, you go into a big airport, you kind of want ATC to secretly say that, you know what I mean? Where, you know, it's like, slow down, you're overtaking the jet in front of you.
It happens to me all the time. If I get a good tailwind, Milwaukee with the SR-22.
Yeah. It's kind of, in a way, it's kind of a compliment, you know, and not necessarily, you know, it gives you the warm and fuzzies, but it's not something that you'd want to try to strive for, but, you know, it's just a cool thing that GA pilots relate to, and it's a thing. So there was a guy that started to, like, rip this whole thing apart on the Facebook page, and he said, actually, I fly a 757, and we normally fly 170 or greater to the outer marker, and then approach speed at 130 knots once we slow down. As a CSEP as well, you're telling me that you fly a Generation 5 at 150 knots down the pipe and are able to get stabilized. And he's like, the Cirrus is a great airplane, but do not compare it to a 757. And then, and it's like, I never really compared it to a 757, but, you know, so then a couple people responded, and then this guy responded back saying, you know, it's like, I'm not sure what's so impressive about a single engine keeping up with a jet that has its landing gear and flaps fully selected, and it's getting ready to land. I guess if that makes you feel better about yourself, then the honor's all yours. I'm not just a 767, 757 driver. I'm also an avid GA pilot that has been a CSIP for a few years. The plane is beautiful and extremely capable. It is simply not a jet. O'Hare and the bigger airports are designed for jets to go in and out of, drop off, and pick up passengers. Not sure the mission of a Cirrus is to routinely run into Ord or O'Hare. I also teach my students, as I have for years, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
He's got a point. A little bit. You had a guy from South, did you say South Africa?
Yeah.
South Africa, okay, it's kind of a bucket list item. What time was this that you went in there?
1 p.m.
On a day of the week or a weekend?
Yeah, the day of the week. It was like a Wednesday or Thursday.
Well, you know what? They can always say unable if they want it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, they do have a little bit of a point, but, you know, I always say, you know, we're not saying that you should always go into O'Hare in a single engine airplane, but I will say is that
you're absolutely welcome to go in there. You know, that's a, and especially if, let's say you were to fly like into St. Louis Lambert, you know, they want you to fly in there now. You know, there's plenty of airports that are designed for jets or bigger to handle larger volumes of traffic and bigger airplanes, but they can, you know, that they're such ghost towns that there's nothing that prevents you from going into them.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Actually, when I was up in the tower today at Pewaukee, a heavy called in, and obviously
Really? They
wanted to talk to O'Hare, and they had the wrong frequency, but I thought, boy, isn't that going to be a special event when this heavy tries to land on a 5,000-foot strip. By the way, you heard it. There was an accident at Pewaukee today.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Now, get this. It was a VTOL Bonanza, not the one you and I know and love, but based at Pewaukee. Gentleman goes out to 1-6 to take his friend for a ride. I don't know if it was the friend's first time or whatever.
Yeah.
Moves to full throttle, starts down the runway, building some speed, and about Lima 2, maybe just before, the passenger, I don't know if he freaked or just got excited or whatever, stomps his left foot down on the rudder pedal.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All of a sudden, this Bonanza on the takeoff roll does a right turn off the runway into the ditch there between Kilo and 1-6, and ends up behind some building. No one was hurt. Airplane had a wing strike, if you will. I don't think it had a prop strike. And, one of the controllers there was spending, over the 2 hours I was there, he was making phone calls and typing up reports. Oh, my God, what a pain in the butt. You know, what if something had really gone wrong? But I just thought that was interesting. And how many times we take people up, and I know I'm shifting subjects here, but I see the clock moving along. And as someone that's always taking new people up, do you ever not think about it? Do you worry about it? What do you do? Just knowing that someone could push a pedal at the wrong time and put you in a serious situation.
No, I never really do think about that. That's kind of crazy. Was this a red Bonanza?
Might have been. Let's not use the tail number online, but I don't remember if it was red or blue. It's over in Hangar 6 now. But the thing that gets me on a VTOL Bonanza, you know, you can store those rudder pedals on the right side. I don't know if it had a yoke over there or not, but I think I'm going to do that more, right? If I'm up like in the, I'm going to just make sure those pedals are disengaged.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary. I mean, you're just going around, and this guy, I'm sure, has flown forever. And next thing you know, you're careening off the runway down into some ditches because the guy you're trying to do a favor for just decided he better stomp, not both feet, but his left foot down.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's really crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's one thing that I never really thought of. And that is really scary.
Yeah, very scary. Could have been a lot worse. I'm glad everyone walked out of there.
Yeah. I don't think I would want to dwell on that or freak out or change many habits other than like internally brief myself. I do when I am flying with people, I tell them to stay clear of the controls, and it was probably not intentional of the passenger.
Right. Oh, I bet not. I mean, he doesn't know. He didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, well.
Yeah, so, definitely.
So it's a point, shifting back, you know, this Bravo or not, I think you have to, play each case. We don't want to abuse the privilege to go into that. I mean, people are looking for first experiences, whether it's sitting right seat in a Bonanza at Pewaukee or they're an accomplished pilot and they want to put it down in O'Hare or Lambert or wherever. You know, I agree it's our right to, and I see the other gentleman's point. It doesn't mean we have to, but there's nothing wrong. If it's an important goal of yours, then go ahead and do it. Pick a time when it isn't so disruptive, if you will. Maybe, you know, not at rush hour. Today, Milwaukee was nuts, and I felt guilty having them work with me to get some practice approaches in. Because I couldn't get in a word. The guy was just constant communication at 4 o'clock right. this afternoon.
Yeah, so, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you out all this week in Duluth for the entire week?
I am. I'm going to be up here. It's Duluth has kind of grown on me. It's a neat place. There's Lake Superior, which is a beautiful lake to fly over, and it's much different than Lake Michigan.
Is it? They're just both big lakes.
Yeah. They're both huge lakes, and I don't know. It's kind of cool to see how each lake affects the climate differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when's the last time you were in a King Air?
Last week.
Oh, okay. It felt like about a year.
Yeah, no, it was a great time. But what do you have going on for your flying gigs coming up here?
Well, I was thinking of going to St. Louis on Thursday, although after all these weeks without any rain, and I don't know if it's just some rain or some storms might be coming in. But I also just got a tweet from, I think, as Ian mentioned, a gentleman, Mr. Overstreet. I understand there's a dinner Thursday night at Waukesha, Uniform Echo Sierra, and I might try and work that in. Matter of fact, you ought to come down from Duluth with your student and do a little Thursday night dinner.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, it would. We started off getting really close with our compatriots in the Wisconsin area, Madison, Cap City Flyers with the Baraboo guys and Winnebago Club up in Oshkosh. And that's all kind of falling apart, and I'm 50% to blame. Again, I talk about how life's getting in the way. I want to really make the connections, if you will, reconnect with so many of my aviation friends from around the country, and here's an opportunity to shake some hands and say hello. So I'd like to take advantage of this one on Thursday night. And so I don't really have any other plans besides that. I got some flights in. I was out last night
nice.
Being a safety pilot, and then I was out yesterday being a safety pilot earlier in the day, and then I went out today in the Bonanza to make sure I remain proficient in that, doing some approaches and some holds. So it's been a great weekend, and looks like it may be a little bit less of a flying week than I had hoped, but we'll see if we can find some opportunities.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Outstanding. Yeah. Well, hey, we got some really cool people coming up on the show. Tonight's guest rescheduled on us, and hopefully we can work it out where he comes back on this next week. Mr. Kermit Weeks, the founder of the Fantasy of Flight Museum in Orlampa, Florida. Quite an amazing collection. This guy has 5,000 foot grass runway strips with like underlying concrete pavements.
Wow.
So that he can land like his constellation. It is, you know, on grass. And not
That's
have it
awesome.
Sink in.
I can't
it
wait to talk awesome. To him.
Yeah. There's, we have, Patrick, one of the executive marketing directors for Signature Flight Support. He's going to be on the 1st of, September.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I say uh-oh because I don't think I can make that one. I've got, my mother's 90th birthday party.
All right.
Yeah, she's 90. I'll be, this next one is, I hate to say it, I'll be 60. And then my son will be turning 30. So how's it? 30, 60, 90.
Yeah.
So that will, that's kind of special. But, yeah, that one, we've got family in town to all celebrate great grandma's, mom's, and grandmother's 90th birthday. So we'll see about that. But we also have, Fly the Sim guys, the touch trainer, which is, kind of put a new spin on simulators and what you can do with them. And everyone that's using our new one that we just got absolutely loves it. So I talked to them at Oshkosh, and both Carl and Eric, the owners of the Fly the Sim, are excited to be on the show, so that will be coming up shortly too.
Cool. That's awesome. You know, there's a we got another kind of a local celebrity booked as well later on in September, and that is Pat O'Malley of the Jet Room.
All right.
Yeah.
Mike Sierra November, the airport, wonderful restaurant that's been there forever. And I haven't been there now in probably over a month, which is unusual, but I absolutely love going up there for Sunday breakfast.
That'd be fun to do that one on location.
You know what? Not even fun to do. We're going to do it.
All right.
Maybe we can have some of the Cap City Flyers come over too and be part of that.
Yeah. I'm thinking that's a great way to, we put a little money where our mouth is with,
and put a little bit of money in Pat O'Malley's pocket too.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Well, hey, it's going to be a pretty exciting next couple weeks on the show. Sounds like it's going to be exciting with flying, and we're going to have a good time.
Well, it'll be good to see you because it's been way too many weeks, and I want to turn this technical stuff over to you because I obviously suck at it. I still don't know what I did wrong tonight. I did everything that I did last week that worked perfectly, so something changed somewhere, and I need you to tell me what it was.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well,
all right.
We'll figure that out.
Yes, sir.
You got it.
All right, man.
Well, hey, thank you.
Yeah, and thank you. It was a great show. Good to connect up again, and enjoyed talking to Ian Hoyt of Heading370.com and all the wonderful things that he's doing in his life and really showing us that there are a lot of amazing people doing amazing things in aviation.
Yes, exactly.
So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say very, very good, and hope everyone has a great week and gets their aviation accomplished with very strong tailwinds.
And, of course, the most beautiful blue skies. Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Heppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Heppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.
Okay, it's off. Okay, cool.